I just want to pray first before speaking today. Let's just pray. Father, I want to thank you for what you're doing in this church. I want to thank you for the way in which you're speaking to us. I want to thank you, Lord, that you're challenging us. And I pray, Father, that this morning you would bring it all together, Lord. You give me the words that explain your heart to us this morning, Lord, so that we might do the works that you've called us to do. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I just want to mention first, I was really challenged this morning. Two words that were read from Ephesians 3 really stuck right deep down inside me. And they're the words, I know that it's because it's an expanded version or a new version, but they were the words explosive power. Explosive power. And Paul was saying to the church at Ephesus, or the churches around that area, that what the Lord had provided for us was explosive power. I'm challenged because I want to tell you this morning, I don't have it. But I want it. And I think the Lord has reminded us again because he wants that for us as well. So I'm wanting to share some words. We're going to follow on from what we've been saying. You know, I think it's 2 or 3 weeks ago, Pastor Robin said that the Lord was doing something new here. And that's absolutely right. And you know, I've been speaking about baptism in the Spirit, the children of Israel being baptized initially, and then Jesus being baptized, then us being baptized in the Spirit and what that meant. And what we've been saying, and you've been hearing more and more, is that it means about building the kingdom of God. And it's so important because that's all it is about. If we're not going to build the kingdom, we might as well go to glory. We sang earlier on that his kingdom is a kingdom without end. Isaiah said, and we usually read it actually in the Christmas story, that of the increase of his kingdom, there will be no end. It will go on getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It will extend and expand until the whole glory of the Lord fills the earth. And Jesus came and showed us what it was like for a man to walk completely in the Spirit. Did you ever think that it was possible that Jesus could have just said one day, do you know, I don't think I'll do it today? You see, we don't actually think about those things. We somehow think that that was not possible. But if it wasn't possible, you and I are lost. It has to be possible. Because Jesus showed us how to be like us and yet not be like us. And to walk entirely in the Spirit day by day, saying, Father, I will do what you say. I will never do it my way. I will never decide one day, do you know, I don't think I can fancy it today. No, today I'll do your work. And we know that the whole point is that he's asking us to do the same. Now, I'm not bringing a gospel that says that we're ever going to be perfect like Jesus. But if I'm going to have explosive power, I've got to be different than I am now. So something has to change. In a very broad sweep, I just want you to understand a few things this morning. The first thing is that when Jesus comes, that what we read in the Gospels is basically Jesus telling us what needs to be done and what you should do, if you like. So we've got the Sermon on the Mount, you know, don't judge people, you know, take up your cross and follow me, etc. There's a lot, you know, they're all there, okay? And what happens is that then Paul comes along afterwards and says, hey guys, you know what you need to do, but it's really easy to find out what you need to do, but it's a bit harder to do it. So what I'm going to do is write all these letters and tell you how and what you need to do in order to get to that point. And so in these next, I don't actually know how many times, but in these next few times I speak, I'm going to be actually looking at issues that Paul raises, or we find in the scripture, that actually are preventing us from having the explosive power. Okay? That's where we're going to go. So I'm wanting us to say, yes, Lord, I want to push on now. I want to embrace all that you have for us in these days. And so we're going to look at one or two. Well, we're going to look at a lot of scriptures this morning. Okay. The first one I want to pick up is John 5 and verse 17. Let's just have a look at this. Jesus said to them, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I am too am working. I want to ask you a question. Do you think that God is at work? That's a really easy one, isn't it? Do you think that God is at work in the people in your road, at your work, at your school? Do you think God is actually at work in our lives right here this morning? Or do you think he's having a sleep this morning? And Jesus said, I am going to do that work. Okay. We haven't got this scripture up. This is one I didn't put in. In John 9 and verse 4, he says to the disciples, while it is day, we need to continue to do the work. And what that means is, while we can, while we have the opportunity, we need to do the work that Father is doing. Okay, that's simple. Right, let's go on to John 5 and verse 19. This is two verses later. So Jesus is talking about doing the work. Father is at work and I'm doing his work. And he said to them this then, I tell you a truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. Read it. The Son can do nothing by himself. Oh, Jesus, don't tell us that. That isn't true, can't be true. You're Jesus. Surely you can do everything. Jesus said, the Son can do nothing by himself. I want to make a suggestion to you. If that was true of Jesus, it's likely to be true of you and me. I'm not one for saying to congregations, say this and say that. But you can say it quietly to yourself right now. I can do nothing. Without him, I can do nothing. The Son can do nothing. But he can do what he sees Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. Let me make a connection here. I don't have explosive power because I don't actually know what Father's doing. I don't see what he's doing. I think we've all said, I won't ask the hands up who didn't say it, but the Lord is at work in us here this morning. But I look around and I don't know what the Lord is doing. I don't see what the Lord is doing. But in order to have the explosive power, in order to do what he's doing, I need to see what he's doing. So somewhere there's a gap. Somewhere I'm not seeing something. Somewhere my eyes are blinded. Somewhere I've got the scales on my eyes. Mark 18, 17 and 18. This is a very interesting passage. We've talked about the feeding of the 5,000. And the disciples were given the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and they took it around. Okay? And they picked up 12 baskets of the leftovers. Shortly after that, Mark tells a story about much the same happening. Can we go back to the... Is it possible to go back to the verse before? Thanks. Sorry about that, Bernie. I meant the verse before the in the Mark one. This is what it says in Mark. So Jesus is... They've gone to this crowd again and the disciples are murmuring amongst themselves, okay? Jesus says this to them. Why are you talking about having no bread? Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see and understand? See the word see there. Are your hearts hardened? Next, do you have eyes to see but fail to see, and ears to hear but fail to hear? And then he says to them, don't you remember what happened last week when you fed the 5,000? Have you not understood yet? And we get this... You'll find it if you look for it. These themes come up, and we read them and don't pick them up each time. But this idea about having our eyes closed and our ears stopped up continually comes up. Did you not have your eyes open when you saw that happen before? Did you not hear what Father was doing? Or in this last week, since that last incident to now, have the scales dropped over your eyes again? Have your ears got blocked up again? When I was very small, there used to be Elim Presbytery rallies at the town hall in Birmingham. I think they came up probably only once a year when I think there were 32 Elim churches in the Birmingham Presbytery, and all of them had this huge great rally in Birmingham Hall there, town hall. And as a very small child, I remember going with my mother and father. And it is my, actually, in terms of, you know, we get told by our parents and we remember things because they keep telling us. But my actual earliest memory of my own was at that meeting in the town hall and watching a crippled lady. Of course, I was so young, I didn't know what was wrong with her, but she went up on the stage with crutches. And they prayed for her, and she threw the crutches down and walked away. That is my earliest memory. And when I got to my late teens, and I was doing the wild things, not I was never very wild. Wild for me. And the Lord said to me one day, well, have you decided to be a Christian or not? I'd already been preaching, various things. So, you know, but it was like the Lord challenged me, are you going to really do it or not? So I said, oh, that's, yeah, okay. And you know, that memory came up. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I cannot unremember what you did. I cannot put it aside and pretend it never happened. I saw it with my own eyes. And I said, Lord, I would be denying myself if I didn't say no. I want to follow you forever. And the Lord just said to me, in that case, do it well. And that day, in a sense, was like a confirmation for me. But do you not remember what I have done? We have sung this morning about the works you've done in our lives. Do you not remember? Do you not see? Do you not hear? Lord, open my eyes. Open my ears. As Jesus said many times, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. So I'm going to go on to look at this a little bit more. Let's just look at some verses in Romans chapter 11. Very germane for the present time. Verse 1. It's talking about Israel. And Paul says, I ask then, did God reject his people? Has God rejected Israel? No, is the answer. No. Verse 5. But at the present time, Paul is saying this, at the present time, there is a remnant in Israel that follows me. A remnant that is chosen by grace, not by law. In other words, God had a remnant of his people, and we know that from the time Jesus was born, because some of those remnants were Simeon, and what was her name again? Anna, that met, they were waiting for the Christ to appear. Do you remember? A remnant in Israel. And in this passage, we won't look at it, but it talks about Elijah saying, oh, Lord, I'm the only one left. And God said to him, don't talk nonsense. I've got lots of people. A remnant I've kept for myself. Those that have been saved by grace, of which we are now part of that. Not by law, a remnant. But the rest of them, listen to this, the rest of them, it says this about them in verse 8. God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes so that they could not see, and ears so they could not hear, to this very day, Paul says. To that day, when he's writing to the Romans, he's saying that the rest of Israel, God had given them eyes that could not see and ears that could not hear. I want you to see the connection here, because we're talking about us having to see what God is doing and having to hear what he's saying. And yet God is saying to these people, he actually stopped that happening. I'll give you one more scripture to support this, then we'll talk about it. Look at Matthew 13:13. This is why I speak to them in parables, so they can understand. No. Jesus specifically said he spoke to them in parables so they couldn't understand. Though seeing, they don't see. Though hearing, they don't hear or understand. He spoke to them in parables so they could not understand. Most of them, or some of them. But those whose eyes he opened, they understood. Now, I want to explain this, because having said that, I'm going to say the opposite now. God actually, we're going to talk about hardening hearts, okay, so I'm going to add that in. God, it says God hardened hearts, okay, God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and so on, so on. It mentions a lot of times. God hardened the hearts of the Israelites. God actually does not harden people's hearts. And although we've just read it, God actually doesn't blind people and stop their ears up. Wait with me. Stick with me. God looks at your heart and he looks at your eyes and he looks at your ears. And if you will not deal with your hard heart, and if you will not say, Lord, open my eyes, and if you will not say, Lord, help my blocked up ears, eventually he will leave you in the position you are. If you continually harden your heart against God, then the scripture will interpret that and say that God has hardened your heart. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? It's God responding to your decision. But the Bible will always, as it were, put God in the position of being in control, if you like, because that's actually the truth. It's his grace that comes and opens our eyes. It's his grace that unblocks our ears. It's his grace that says, like he said a number of times in Ezekiel and Jeremiah, I will take out your heart of stone and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will take out your hard heart and give you a heart that's beating and soft and ready and willing to move. It's his grace. It's his grace. But I have to align myself with that for it to happen. As we say, in, as it were, modern parlance, I have to get my own ducks lined up. Are your ducks lined up? God is wanting to do this. But as we know from Samuel and David, he doesn't look on the outside, he's looking at your heart. And he's saying, is this a heart that's for me? So I just want to look at a couple of more scriptures here. Things that the scripture says about our hearts. Romans 2 and verse 5. Because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart. Guys, I'm not wanting to be too heavy here, but we're a stubborn lot. You know, we talk. I bet you've never ever told, well, you might have told your husband or wife you're stubborn. But we don't go around telling people they're stubborn. What we do is we tell other people about that person stubborn. Because we all know stubborn people. I can be stubborn on occasions. And I'll tell you now, I wouldn't tell her to her face, my wife can be stubborn as well. Oh, sorry. No. An unrepentant heart is a heart that won't turn. The two are connected. Hey, you need to change that. I'm not going to change that. I'm not going to change that. Why should I change that? It's a typical human, you know, we hear it every day from people. But God is looking for people whose hearts are not stubborn and whose hearts are not unrepentant, whose hearts are pliable, who said, Lord, tell me which way and I'll do it. Let's look at one more. Hebrews 3 and verse 12. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart. Wow, that turns away from the living God. Unbelieving heart. I want to just mention one other thing here now, so we understand clearly. These scriptures, I believe, cover a whole spectrum. So we can apply these scriptures to people who've never become Christians. And to people who's been Christians for donkey's years like me. Because the scripture is true in every situation. Because that's what God's like. So the scripture, it's no good me saying, you know, as soon as I say, oh, that's not for me. That's, you know, that's for the people who don't know Christ. I'm dead. I've lost, because this scripture applies to me now. It may not apply to me in the same way, but it applies to me. It's not the stubbornness that I had when I was a kid, but it's the stubbornness I now have now. It's the stubbornness we have to face every day. It's the unbelief. I have a lot more belief now than I had many years ago. But that doesn't mean to say I don't have some unbelief. And it's today's unbelief I have to deal with. If I want to have explosive power. Today's unbelief. Now, the other verses say an evil, unbelieving heart. It's not an evil heart or a sinful heart and an unbelieving heart. They're two together. It's that if you're unbelieving, it's an evil heart, because we need to believe God. Okay. So I just want to give three more scriptures now to bring it to an end and to, as it were, encourage us. Okay. So the first is the one perhaps that you won't know quite well, Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart. So your heart is very precious. You need to guard it. And the wellspring of life, it's an interesting word, but it basically means the source of life. In fact, the interesting thing is that the Jewish understanding of that was that your heart is what brings the, it's the choices of your heart that bring the consequences in your life. Okay, so that was the sort of Jewish understanding. Life's consequences. Guard your heart because life's consequences come from it. Guard your heart. 2 Chronicles. This was, again, I've just picked this out. There's one or two verses like this. But it was about the people that went back to Jerusalem when things were going wrong in Israel that separated out. And they went back to Judah. And it said, those from every tribe that set their hearts on seeking the Lord. Will you do that this week? Will you do that in these coming days? Set your heart. Cool, set it. Imagine the dials on your heart. I'm going to get this set up. Just, I'm going to tweak this. I'm going to tweak that. And I'm going to put it on the setting which says, seek the Lord. I'm going to seek the Lord. And finally, Hebrews. Let's go back to Hebrews 3. Following the verse that we read before about hardening your heart. And then it says this, Hebrews 3 and verse 13. It's not coming up. Okay. It says, encourage one another. Wow. Encourage one another. You've got a hard heart? Brother Emmanuel, have you got a hard heart? I want to encourage you, brother. I want to encourage you to have a soft heart. I want to encourage you to seek the Lord. I want to encourage you all to seek the explosive power that God has got for you. I want to encourage you to say, Lord, my eyes have been open. Open them some more. Lord, I hear you sometimes, but I want to hear you every day. I want to be able to do the works of the kingdom. I want to be able to do the works that, Father, you are doing. I want to be able to see what you're doing. When I walk out through this door and I walk up the road, I want to be able to see what you're doing. Speak to me, Lord. Open my eyes. And together we will embrace all that God has for us in these coming days. Amen. Let's pray, shall we pray? I want to thank you, Lord, for your word. I want to thank you that it's quick and powerful and it reaches deep down within inside us. I want to thank you, Lord, that it's not my words, but it's what you will do in these coming days, Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, that by your Spirit you will speak deep into our hearts, Lord, not just today, but on Tuesday and Thursday, at other times when we're thinking of other things, that you will drop your word into our hearts, that we might just remember and just out of the blue almost, Lord, that we would say, oh, Lord, open my eyes. What are you doing right now? What are you saying right now in this situation? Lord, because our deep desire is to do the work that you're doing and to see the kingdom built in this place. Praise your name. Amen.